There is a word. The title of our sermon today is, we all have an assignment. An assignment is a task or a piece of work given to someone to complete as a part of a job or a course of study. We have all heard the word assignment in various contexts. For most of us, we've heard it at home when our parents, usually our mothers, would give us chores to do as an assignment. We were expected to complete this chore, this assignment, within the parameters of the time frame given. For instance, on Saturdays, we had to clean our room or clean the bathroom. During the week, we usually had an assignment of cleaning the kitchen, washing the dishes, which was done before or after homework, which was another assignment. And assignments were part of our daily life, moving us forward and allowing us to grow and be contributors in the family unit. Assignment gave us a sense of responsibility as we developed and learned and enabled us to move forward to the next level. Assignments help us to understand that we are part of something greater than ourselves. Throughout the Bible, we see individuals that were called by God for a God-ordained assignment. They were usually called out from among many to complete a particular assignment that was just for them. The first assignment was given to Adam and Eve. They were assigned to have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and the cattle on the land, and over all living things on the earth. As we know, assignments do not always work out quite the way God intended. But one thing we can know for sure, that God will finish what he starts with or without the ones he called for the assignment. Moving forward, God decides to make a nation of a people who would worship him. He called Abram out of obscurity and gave him an assignment. He had to leave his family, his friends, and community to become the father of all nations. That would be after God's own heart, a nation of people who would worship God. Abraham's assignment was completed, but not without some hiccups. God gave Moses an assignment to lead his people, more than 2 million people, out of the bondage of slavery in Egypt, into a land that he had covenanted and showed Abraham, a land flowing with milk and honey, a land that where they would be free to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we know, this took more than 40 years, not because it had to. It took this long because the people were disobedient. We serve a progressive God. We are part of a larger assignment. We all have an assignment. As quiet as it is kept, we are called to complete our assignment. That's why Paul could say in 2 Timothy, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Some of us will complete the course, the assignment, and some of us will not. Some of us will give it our best, and God will honor us for trying. Some of us will waste time making excuses, but we all have an assignment. After thousands of years of disobedience, God called forth his ultimate plan for humanity. This time, God put himself into the plan to save humanity. Guess who got to carry out the assignment? God called a young girl by the name of Mary and gave her a God-ordained assignment. Her assignment was to be a vessel, a carrier, the birth mother of the Son of God, who would deliver and redeem humanity of its sins, to restore humanity back to a right relationship with God. That's why it's a God-sized assignment. Some of us are called to be doorkeepers of the house of God, but we treat the assignment as though it's not important. Doorkeepers are the first person the people interact with, not the pastor, not the deacons or the trustees, the doorkeepers. Some of us are called to be prayer warriors, intercessors, but it's just not that important to us. Prayer changes things. God did nothing. Jesus did nothing without going to the Father in prayer. To be given an assignment of prayer, it is an honor. Some of us are called to lead and be part of worship through the ministry of song. But some of us think it's just not that important. But we are all here on assignment. When each of us are born into the earthly realm, our soul leaves the spiritual realm, and we are birthed into an earthly realm to complete an assignment. Jesus left heaven to answer his call. His assignment was completed at Calvary's cross. As believers, we too are called to complete an assignment. We too are called to do something for the kingdom of God. We are given assignments that are just for us. No one will be able to do what God called you to do, what God intended for you to do for the kingdom of God. The Holy Scriptures are very clear. God has come to man, woman, people, and church to relay his God-ordained plan. We can refuse the assignment, but with refusal come consequence. God is all about advancing his world, his kingdom, and his people. Isaiah the prophet, hearing from God, spoke these words, which are the same words that Jesus would repeat later as he embarked on his ministry assignment. Jesus was called to be deliverer, redeemer, savior of the world. Like many of the passages of text in the book of Isaiah, this text had a dual assignment. First, it foretold the coming of the only one, Jesus, who could make a way for God's people to be redeemed from sin. Jesus came to heal the sick, to mend the broken heart, and to set the captives free. Secondly, Isaiah's ministry assignment from God is seen in these passages. The people were about to go into captivity, but would one day return to their homeland. Isaiah's assignment was to prophesy to the people concerning what was coming. Isaiah was called to tell the people that God had a plan for deliverance from their bondage, their captivity. Isaiah's assignment was given to the people, was to give the people hope where there appeared to be no hope. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him, so he would be able to prophesy and have visions for the people. We all have an assignment. First, the assignment was given. The assignments are given for the benefit of God's people. When we are given our assignments, the Spirit and the anointing of God to carry out the assignment is available to us. Many of us are not able to carry out our assignments because we are not operating in the Spirit of God, but in our own strength. We cannot be committed to the assignment because we don't have the anointing to get the job done. We cannot hear what our assignment is because our relationship with God is not developing. We are separated from God because of unrepented sin. We are grieving God, the Holy Spirit, with our arrogance, our anger, our hatred, our spiteful ways, and the backbiting and the disobedience. We are not coming to God in prayer with expectations and commitments. We are caught up in our own agenda, not God's assignment. The prophet Isaiah, who is very well known, repented before the Lord, learned to take God seriously, and was able to be opened up to receive his assignment. He reverenced God. He loved God. And God used him. God allowed Isaiah to see his glory in the temple, which would propel him into his assignment. Isaiah says, "I saw the Lord high and lifted up." When God called him to his assignment, Isaiah says, "Woe is me, for I am lost. A man of unclean lips am I. And in the midst of a people of unclean lips do I dwell." But God already knew that. God knows who we are, where we've been, and what we've done. But he's called us anyway. He called us and gave us an assignment. The Israelites were in despair because captivity was imminent. They would be in a foreign land, a place they knew nothing about, not even the language. They would be at the mercy of their circumstances. But Isaiah said, "Wait, all isn't lost. I have a message from the Lord for you. Although you're poor in spirit, distressed and depressed, and just plain in a mess, there's good news from the Lord. Although you're brokenhearted, I was sent to tell you that the Lord will mend your broken heart. Although things are not looking so good right now, but I was sent by God to give you hope that trouble don't last always. We all have an assignment, and we got to learn how to walk in it. Because you can help somebody else that's going through. You can lift up a bowed down spirit. You can say, this is what the Lord says. He has a plan for your life. It may not look so good right now,
But know that God is able to turn your situation around. That's why we got to learn how to pray for one another. You pray for me, and I'll pray for you. And God will do some things in our lives.
Secondly, assignments come with a cost. I'm not going to stand here and try to fool you into thinking that your assignment isn't going to cost you something. I think we all know that by now that even though we're Christians, and sometimes we're even guilty of making it seem like once you become a Christian, that we're going to live on a bed of roses. But guess what? There's some thorns too. Your assignment is going to cost you. In fact, some assignments are going to cost you a lot. It cost Abraham, his family, his friends, and his community to be the father of a holy and worshiping nation. It cost Moses 40 years in a desert tending sheep to teach him how to wait on God so that he could lead God's people out of slavery. It cost Joseph a season of slavery, a trumped up rape charge, and a prison sentence to get him in position to save God's people from a famine and starvation. It cost Mary her reputation, ridicule, and scandal from the community to be the mother of the Savior of the world. Assignments are going to cost you some time. Assignment is going to cost you commitment and obedience. Assignments can cost you friends and family. Assignments can cost you your resources. It's going to cost you something to complete your assignment. I don't want to stand here and make it look like it's all glory, because it's not. Because if it was, Jesus wouldn't have had to go through what he went through. And if we are followers of Christ, each of us have to pick up our cross and follow after him. This is not one of those feel-good words. This is a word to tell you that we were called to be servants. We were called to serve the Most High God. We were called to stand up and do what we were called to do, and to do it to the glory of God. We were not called just to walk up in here every Sunday, clap our hands, sing a few songs, and go back out there. We were called to do something for the kingdom of God. Each and every one of us, some of us are already doing it. Some of us are on the brink of doing it. Some of us are trying to figure out what it is that I'm supposed to be doing. But I tell you, if you go to the Lord in prayer, if you give your heart to him and say, God, I'm open, I'm your servant, tell me what it is that you would have me to do, the Lord will make it clear. He might not make the whole thing clear immediately, but he'll get you started. If it didn't cost us something to serve God, all of us would have the same assignment. To whom much is given, much is required. God in his infinite wisdom knew that whatever he gave man to do was not going to be done totally in perfection. That's why only God himself through his son Jesus could complete the assignment for the redemption of humanity. The assignment of redemption had to be perfectly completed so that you and I would know without a doubt that through our faith we are saved. It cost Jesus his life to be the savior of the world. But in spite of the cost, Jesus wasted no time. You see, he healed the sick, mended the broken in spirit. He raised the dead and gave sight to the blinded eye. He opened up deaf ears, stopped the issue of blood. He cured diseases that had no cure. He forgave sin, restored dignity, and when the world wanted to stone, sin away. He fed 5,000 men, women, and children with 5 loaves and 2 fish. He died at Calvary's cross, laid in a borrowed tomb, got up from the grave with all power in his hand. He ascended back to heaven, sat at the right hand of the Father so that we could come boldly to the throne of grace, knowing that our prayers and petitions are heard and they are answered. Assignment costs you something. It's not a free ride. Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the broken in hearted, to proclaim freedom to the captives and release darkness for the prisoners." You are called to do something. We serve a progressive God. And each one of us have a part in this journey. Isaiah comforted, but Jesus converted.
Isaiah preached liberty, but Jesus liberated the captives. Isaiah reminded the people of the year of Jubilee, which came every 50 years. This is a time when slaves and prisons would be released from their debt, and their debts would be canceled. But you see, Jesus is the Jubilee. He comes all the time, not just every 50 years. Jesus shows up every day if you would just give yourself over to him. Isaiah saw the glory of God high and lifted up, but Jesus is the glory of God. We all are on assignment. Third and last, assignments come with limited information. I want somebody to hear me. Assignments come with limited information. Have you ever been in a situation when you've been given something to do, but you had limited information? You kept asking for details, but none came. Frustration sat in, and you wanted to abandon the assignment. You wanted to give up and go back about your business, but something kept pulling you back. The living God, the Spirit of God, just kept tugging at your heart, kept saying that I got something for you to do. He wasn't saying anything else. He was just saying, I got something for you to do. You knew there was an assignment, but you didn't know what the assignment was, and you didn't know what to do. You said, should I sit down or should I get up? Should I go out or should I stay here? What shall I do, God? What are you calling me to do, God? What do you want from me, God? Haven't I said I'll do whatever you ask me to do, God? But you're not talking. God, talk to me today. God requires us to have faith. The Hebrew writer helps us out when he says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Just like Abraham, Moses, Joseph, and Mary, God informs us on a need-to-know basis. You see, God limits the information so that we don't run off and do it our way. God limits the information to teach us how to lean and depend on him. God limits the information he gives us so that we can learn how to walk by faith and not by sight. I know it's true. How I know it's true? Because when Abraham, who had no heir, was told by God that he was going to be the father of all nations, lost his faith in God's promises and took matters into his own hands, he didn't wait on God. You see, God can be slow in our understanding, but he is always sure. Moses discovered that he was an Israelite, and the people of God that they were persecuting was his own, and he ran out in anger and killed an Egyptian. Joseph had a dream that showed him that his brothers was going to bow down before him. He got a case of the I can't help it and ran around bragging about what was going to happen. You see, if God told us everything, we'd have everybody, including Satan, up in the plan. I know it's true. I know it's true, and you know it's true. Because as soon as Jesus went out into the desert he was tested by Satan. Satan came to tempt him with food, power, and position. And if Satan would come and tempt Jesus, you know he'll come and tempt you. So do we stand in the position of the plan of God being destroyed if God tells us too much? Jesus has been fasting food and water for 40 days. Satan tried to get him in what he thought was a weak moment to abandon his assignment. But Jesus says that man does not live by bread alone, but of every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. God withholds information from us because it causes us to stay close to him, to depend on him, and to lean on him moment by moment. He withholds information from us because he knows that the independence of man's nature will get us in trouble. I know it, so just ask Adam and Eve. God withholds information from us because mankind functions better with limited information. I want you to ask Moses what happened to him. As he led the people, Moses went daily before the Lord to get the help he needed to lead the people to the promised land. When God gives us an assignment, he may not release all the information to us, but he will always release enough information so that we can be obedient to him, his will, and his agenda. We all have an assignment. God, who is God the Father, is the owner. Jesus is the CEO. And the Holy Spirit is the vice president. We are called to be the managers of God's kingdom here on earth. We are called to be a blessing to God's people. We are the church are given God's anointed assignment. When the church truly fulfills its call, there will be a supernatural, overwhelming presence of peace, love, and joy within the church. The presence of the power of God will be available to the church. We all have an assignment. Paul tells us in Romans 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Assignments are given for the benefit of the people. Assignments come with a cost. Assignments come with limited information, but we are all on assignment. The church of Jesus Christ is not growing as it should be. The church is not operating as it should be. The church of Jesus Christ has an assignment to follow in the footsteps of Christ, to tell the good news to the poor in spirit, to mend the broken hearts, to set the captives free. We all have an assignment. Ask yourself today when you go home, Lord, what is my assignment when you go in prayer? Ask God, what is it that you would have me to do? We all on an assignment, people. We all have something to do. There are no big I's and little T's. Everybody is important to the kingdom of God. Everybody. That's why Paul gave the analogy of the body of Christ. Jesus is the head. We are the arms, the legs, the feet, the ears, the eyes, the nose, the mouth. We all have something to do. We are all on an assignment. Don't assume it's Mary's job. Don't assume it's Moses' job. Don't you get it twisted and think it's just Abraham's job. Everybody got something to do for the kingdom of God. We get so caught up, as I take my seat, we get so caught up in thinking this job is bigger than that job. Well, I tell you what, you take away the legs and see if a body can walk. You take away the arms and see if anything can be lifted up. You take away the eyes and see what can you see. Take away the ears, what can you hear? We all have something to do. We work together for the kingdom of God, that we might give glory, that people who are broken down, disheartened, don't know which way to go and which way to turn, know that there's some place that they can go and God will give them a word. The word is in you. The word should be in you, sitting on your bus, sitting at your desk at work, in the supermarket, wherever you are, there's a word from the Lord. Some of us are called to be preachers and teachers. And yes, God gives us our assignment to do that job, but each and every one of you are a preacher and a teacher. If you would just own it. That's what this is about today. This is about owning your call. This is about accepting the work of the kingdom. This is about doing what God has called you to do. This is about giving yourself completely over to God. It's about surrender. It's hard to do something when you're fighting against it. Give in to God, he gonna win anyhow. Just saying. One way or another, he gonna win. He will wait you out. You can wait till you're 50 or you can do it at 25. Make up your mind. Well, guess what? You can be in the wheelchair rolling right along, but you're gonna do what God told you to do. One way or another, you're gonna do it. Because we all are here on assignment. This is the word of God for the people of God.